Well, if you haven't placed your final online gift orders at Amazon yet, I'm sorry, it's not going to arrive by Christmas. You blew it. But I'm sure you already knew that, right? Because if you're like me, you've seen dozens of reminders to get that order placed in time for it to arrive by Christmas in the emails and the websites and on the commercials and so forth. So I don't need to tell you that tomorrow is Christmas. You already know that. And the culture knows that as well, doesn't it? All right, that's why when you turn the radio on, you can find any number of stations where you get 24/7 Christmas music, which I have just given up on. Right, no more FM Christmas music radio for me. You can only hear Mariah Carey and Michael Bolton so many times. In fact, I saw a news report just the other day about an Austrian radio DJ who played the song Last Christmas by Wham. So all the 80s fans know exactly what I'm talking about. 24 consecutive times. Now one can only hope that's his last Christmas as a DJ. But we hear it on the radio and plenty of TV shows that are keen to Christmas time and entire sections of stores dedicated to all things Christmas. Fast food restaurants with Christmas delicacies and just on and on. We know that it's Christmas as a culture, don't we? But I'm not so sure that we know what it means. At least, not what it truly means, right? I mean, we know what it means to Stevie Wonder, right? We know what it means to Clark Griswold, and we know what it means to the retail industry. We know what it means to this person and to that person, but what does it truly mean? What is this holiday about? I mean, if you listen to the songs, and you see the billboards, and you watch the movies and so forth, you'd think that the holiday is essentially, mainly, about spending time with friends and family. About showing a little extra kindness this time of year. About being a little more generous, especially with the weak and the poor and the disenfranchised. But where does Jesus fit in to all of that? I mean, he's rarely mentioned in the Christmas songs and in the Christmas shows. I mean, there are exceptions to that, of course, but you could go an hour or more and not hear him mentioned on the Christmas 24/7 stations. And you're not going to find an aisle dedicated to all things Jesus at Walmart, are you? And yet, Christ is in the very name of the holiday. Christmas, Christmas. And if Jesus is mentioned at all in relationship to the holiday, it's typically just vaguely. And not enough really to understand the significance of Jesus. I mean, you might hear that Christmas is a holiday that commemorates his birth. But then, so what, right? I mean, there were a lot of people born in the first century. What is it about this birth that makes it worthy of a worldwide celebration? Or you might hear that we celebrate his birth because he was a good man. And he had a lot of good things to say about loving other people and being kind and so forth. But again, so what? Think of how many people this world has produced that have said a lot of good things about kindness, about generosity, about loving other people. But we don't have holidays for them. What is unique about this person, Jesus? That's the question, isn't it? And we even have Christmas songs that meditate on that very question. We got the popular hymn, What Child Is This? Right, and stanza or verse 1 goes, What child is this who, laid to rest on Mary's lap, is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? What child is this that gave rise to what we're doing tonight? And it pushes further. It's not just the question of who Jesus is. It's also the question of why Jesus came. That's the second verse. Why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christians fear, for sinners hear the silent word is pleading. Why did he come? What and why? Those are the two fundamental questions, aren't they, about this holiday that we celebrate. What child is this and why did he come? Well, that's what I'd like for us just to take a few minutes tonight to out of the busyness. And there's more busyness to come. And it's good busyness, isn't it? It's a lot of good things that we enjoy, that God has made for us to enjoy. But now we're just going to step back out of all of that for a few minutes and just consider those two questions. And so again, you'll find the verse printed on the back of your bulletin. And I invite you to look at it with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, as we consider what this answers for us about those two questions. What child is this? And why did he come? The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. So what child is this? Well, verse 15 tells us it's Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is not a first and last name. For years I thought Christ was his last name. I thought you just go to the first century Nazareth phone book and you'd look under C and there's Christ and you go, you know, Fred, Rebecca, Sam, there's Jesus. And we've got the first and his last name. But that's not what that means. Jesus is his name. It tells us who he is. But Christ is his title. It tells us what he is. So what does Christ mean? We hear it a lot. It's in the very holiday name itself. Christ is a title that means anointed one or Messiah. You've probably heard that more often. And the term Messiah, Christ, sums up all of the Old Testament prophecies and expectations that go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And follow all the way to the end of the Old Testament, all of it pointing to one person. Think of how many centuries and millennia that this was presented to God's people. Waiting for this long expected one to come. That's what Messiah means. It's God's forever king. It's God's savior who would one day come to redeem God's people. And Jesus tells us the name of that Messiah. Now, Jesus was a pretty common name in the first century. It would have taken you a lot longer than I showed you to go through that phone book and find the right Jesus. The Hebrew is Yeshua, where we get Joshua. And it simply means that Yahweh saves. Yahweh is the name of God that's presented over and over and over again in the Old Testament. Only one person got that name, and it was God himself. And so it was a common name to declare that Yahweh saves, that God saves. But it is by no means given to a common child. This is a unique person who gets this title, Jesus. Matthew 1, we just read it. The angel comes to Joseph and says, "Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." What's so unique about that child who gets that name, isn't that he would save his people, right? If you think about the Old Testament, Moses saved God's people from Egypt. David, King David, time and again saved God's people from the enemies round about them. What is utterly unique about this Jesus is that he came to save his people and to save them from their sins. Friends, that is only something that God himself can do. In fact, when Jesus made the claims on earth that he could forgive sins, the religious leaders of the day understood good and well what that meant. They understood that he was claiming himself to be God. So when this child receives the name Jesus, God saves, it means that this child is more than a mere child. He is God who came to earth and became a human being in order to save his people. And that's why 1 Timothy 1:15 says it like this. He, speaking of Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. Means he wasn't part of the world. It means he's the one who made the world. Before the manger, Jesus was. He made Mary. He made the cattle that were lowing round about him. He made the shepherds that came. He made the magi that came. He made the star in the sky that led to his place of birth. He made the universe. He's not part of it. and he came into the world. This is what we've been thinking about for the past few weeks during our Advent series, as we thought about the Nicene Creed that so wonderfully confesses these truths. This is no ordinary human being. This was God in the flesh. That's why this child that we celebrate at Christmas is unique. So that's the what question. What child is this? It's God come to save sinners by becoming a human being like us. But now, why did he come? That's the next question. Why did this Savior come? Well, if you don't know already by his name itself, verse 15 tells us plainly, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's the why question. He didn't come to tell us how to be better people. He didn't come to set for us a good example to follow. He didn't come to tell us that we are basically all right, but we just need to do a little bit more loving, show a little more kindness, a little more generosity. This is a good time of year to do it. That's why we celebrate his birth. And if we can just do those things, then the world will be a better place. That's not why he came. Jesus said this when he was an adult. He said, I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus came to save sinners. I'm thinking about the radio songs that we hear. There's a pretty popular song, My Grown-Up Christmas List. So if you've been listening to FM radio, you've heard it 15, 16 times today. And you know the song. So, and it's, you know, it's, insofar as it goes, it's a fine song. It's trying to get at our fundamental need, and it lists a lot of important needs that we have as human beings, doesn't it? It says this, no more lives torn apart, that wars would never start, that time would heal all hearts, and everyone would have a friend. Right would always win, love would never end. And there's a lot of good biblical words in those things. And there's nothing wrong with the content of that list. In fact, Jesus says that he is going to come back one day, a second advent, and he's going to make all things new. He is going to rid this broken world of everything that hinders our full and forever joy in him. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. No more broken hearts, no more friendless evenings, no more broken relationships, no more suffering. Love is always going to be, right will always win. The problem isn't with what it lists, the problem is with what it doesn't list. What's missing in those words? Well, the problem with it is we're missing from that list. You see, the list does a nice job of enumerating the brokenness of the world, but it never mentions the fact that we are responsible for the brokenness. The reason we don't have everything right is because we don't do everything right. And it's been that way since God made us. We don't love as we ought, not our neighbor as ourselves. We certainly don't love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, like God says we must do in order to be with him forever. It misses the point that the fundamental problem with this world, with you and with me, isn't a physical problem. It's not a relational need. It's not a financial need. It's not a geopolitical need. Our biggest need, friends, tonight is forgiveness. And I'm not talking about we need to be more forgiving. And we could all do that. But I'm talking about this. We need to be forgiven. That is why this Jesus came. He came into the world to save sinners. And friends, not by showing us how to live better, to be more moral, or to be more religious. If that's all we had to do, there would be no need for him to come and become a human being and do what he did. But the eternal, punishment that we deserve for our sin isn't something that we can make up for. It's not something we can pay for. It's not something we can fix. It's something that only God can do for us. And here's the good news of Christmas. It's what God did when He came to earth and He took on flesh and He lived the life of right love that you and I can't live. He died the death that you and I deserve to die on a cross, bearing the punishment that we deserve from God. And He rose from the dead. The other big difference between Jesus and all those other people that have said a lot of good things is that all of them have died. And Jesus is the only one left who is alive, and He's in heaven right now. And He's with us this evening. That's why Jesus came. Now, we don't hear a lot about that message on the radio. We're not going to see that on the TV shows. You're not going to find that on offer at Walmart, right? But it is an offer to all of us tonight. And so that leaves us with just one last question as we wrap up. How do we receive that gift of forgiveness and of eternal life and eternal joy with this Savior? Well, here's how our passage answers it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And listen to this. Of whom I am the foremost. Friends, it's one thing to say Jesus came to save sinners. It's another to point at yourself and to say, Jesus came to save this sinner. The Times of London, a British newspaper, asked the famous writer, Christian thinker, G.K. Chesterton, to submit an essay to the paper on the question, what's wrong with the world today? And I love Chesterton's very simple reply. I mean, he could have filled a whole book. In fact, he wrote a whole book on that. But here's what he wrote. Chesterton replied simply this, "Dear sirs, I am, sincerely yours, G.K. Chesterton." Didn't need to fill up a whole book on that, did he? You see, we'll never receive this Jesus as Savior if we don't first accept that we are a sinner in need of saving. You see what I'm saying? We'll never understand and believe and treasure the good news of salvation until we first understand the bad news of why we must be saved. So tonight is indeed a night of celebration. But let me let you think about this as we close. Do you know, do you sitting here this evening know what child this is that we've come to celebrate? Do you know why He grew up to do what He did for sinners like us? And have you turned from your own sin and turned to this Savior to receive Him by faith? Not by trying harder, but simply receiving Him by faith. This Jesus, not simply as a Savior, but as your Savior. As your all-satisfying joy above all joys. Friends, this is good news of great joy that can only be received with empty hands. So in just a moment, we're going to light candles, as we typically do on Christmas Eve, and we're going to sing Silent Night. And as you sing it, I want you to think about stanza 3, which says this, "Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glories stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing Alleluia. Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born." Christ is indeed a Savior tonight. But friends, He only becomes your Savior when you receive Him through faith. So if you've come tonight to this celebration without this Jesus being your Savior? Why not make this the night He does? That He enters your life, that He changes your world eternally. That is who this child is and what He's done for sinners like us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we've come tonight to celebrate Christmas, but we want to celebrate Christmas on Your terms. It's Your holiday, and You've been so clear to us about what it means. And Lord, we confess to You that we don't deserve to have a holiday like this. Not one of us have done anything to earn Your grace. But by Your sheer mercy, You've come into this world to save sinners like us. And we pray that You would be working here and there among those gathered to be showing the supremacy of Your gospel and the all-satisfying Savior that this gospel presents to us, and that not one person in this room would leave this place without being able to say, "My Savior, Jesus." And we pray in Your name. Amen.